everyone. I'm Ashley McManus, Senior Director of Global Marketing at Affectiva, a smart eye company. Welcome to the Human-Centric AI Podcast, where each episode we will interview a thought leader doing cutting-edge work in the AI space. A little bit about us. Affectiva is on a mission to humanize technology. Acquired by SmartEye in 2021, Affectiva created and defined the emotion AI and human perception AI categories. Built on deep learning, computer vision, speech science, and massive amounts of real-world data, Affectiva's technology can detect nuanced human emotions, complex cognitive states, activities, interactions, and objects people use. For over 20 years, SmartEye has developed AI in the form of eye-tracking technology that understands, supports, and predicts a person's intentions and actions. By carefully studying eye, facial, and head movement, our technology can draw conclusions about a person's awareness and mental state. Our eye-tracking technology is providing new insights for research within aerospace, aviation, neuroscience, and more. Today's episode features Vera Sidlova, Global Brand Manager Creative at Kantar. Kantar is the world's leading data, insights, and consulting company. They understand more about how people think, feel, shop, share, vote, and view than anyone else. Combining their expertise in human understanding with advanced technologies, Kantar's 300,000 people help the world's leading organizations succeed and grow. Vera has been focused on creative effectiveness research and helps manage Kantar's creative solutions portfolio. Vera and I discussed how Affectiva's advanced facial coding technology is integrated into Kantar's methodology for ad testing to provide guidance on creative by understanding consumers' unfiltered, moment-by-moment emotional reactions to content. We also covered some joint research we did together, as well as some exciting new studies coming up. Let's listen in to learn more. Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. With me, I have Vera Sidlova, Global Brand Manager Creative at Kantar. Thank you so much for making the time to speak with me today.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Ashley.
Absolutely. Okay, to start, tell us about your background. How has your career path taken you to Kantar, and what is your current role?
So in my current role, I focus on how we can help our clients create advertising that really stands out of the crowd, is really out there creatively, and ultimately is good for their brand. So it brings return on investment. It communicates kind of the image and impressions that they want to put out there in the world about themselves. So that my big role is around how we do that through our product portfolio of creative solutions. We collaborate a lot with Affectiva in this space. And that's actually a little bit of my career path. I started as a project manager in Kantar and then moved into an analyst role where I did a lot of emotion AI work on individual projects. And now I'm in a more global role where I think about the portfolio more broadly. But really what brought me there and a lot of the excitement about my job initially came from the involvement with Affectiva. So I'm so glad to be here with you today. To talk more about what we do together.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, normally you don't think of, you know, starting as analyst and go to creative. So I thought that was okay. So for those who are unfamiliar with Kantar, can you explain briefly what your offerings are?
Right. So at Kantar, broadly speaking, we strive to unearth insights that help our clients grow their brands. And that could really be anything about kind of their brand strategy or product innovations they do or how they do their advertising, where they place it. It could be many, many different things. Broadly speaking, we do the insight work to bring them growth. I think more recently I've been reflecting on just the environment that a lot of our clients find themselves in, and whether or not you take the pandemic into account, it's very, very challenging. There's so much new technology out there. There's data everywhere. There's loads of it. It's pretty hard to make sense of all of it at times. And there's just a lot of new stuff, new players, new stakeholders. And so it's quite a complex environment to navigate. Mm-hmm. And our role is to kind of bring sense to the chaos sometimes and find insights that can guide them out of it. But at the same time, I think it's important to think about things that maybe haven't changed so much in the world of marketing and advertising. And advertising still is something that creates a lot of impressions. It continues to be a vehicle through which brands communicate successfully. And so you do need to know as a brand, you'd want to know if you're doing well, you know, how you stack up against competitors, if what you're doing actually creates the impressions that you want to create, et cetera. And this is exactly where the richness of our collaboration with Affectiva comes in, because we're able to bring that technology to understand the emotional side of things, as well as kind of the normative insights from Kantar's side about how advertising fares all together. Mm-hmm. So I would think of our role as bringing kind of that human insight that's very tech powered to help clients make the right decisions in this very, very complex world that seems to be changing all the time. Yet there are some things that do stay remarkably stable in all of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to unpack just a little bit further. So who would you say, I know you mentioned like partners and clients, who exactly are your target customers and how would you work with them, for example?
Right. So our target customers mainly would be some of the world's biggest advertisers. Mm-hmm. And we would work with them in a variety of ways. But in the context of creative specifically, we'd work with them on identifying the right idea for their communication and then really developing that and honing that in all the way until they find the right executions to air and ultimately, you know, show them in the right places, the right people, in a way that will resonate with their audience and make them think of that brand favorably. And ultimately, they'll, you know, generate sales for that brand. So that would be kind of the journey we'd take clients on, but really starting with a very strong insight about understanding the people you aim to speak to and how you want to speak to them. And that's where that emotional piece is really, really powerful, because it's not just about right. what you say, what your message is, you know, like, you know, buy this laptop. Might not resonate the same way if like a certain person says it in an ad, or if your ad is just pure message oriented. Many different things can work differently and then different people. And so really understanding who you're speaking to and what you want to deliver is key. And I think having anything creative, you know, having really interesting and unique insights to build on is key, because mm-hmm. there's so much content everywhere and you do need something unique to stand out of the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. And you might have kind of touched on my next question in a couple of different ways. But, you know, with your knowledge and expertise, what would you say some of the biggest challenges are for those who work in advertising? I know you touched on, you know, yeah. all the technologies and, you know, how challenging it is to kind of break through the noise. Maybe that's it. And maybe you have some new things. Yeah. I'm really curious.
So in addition to the ones I've already mentioned around yeah. technology and clutter, I would say in today's age, we do see quite a lot of expectation being put on advertising and actually ultimately brands from people. So people expect in today's world that has a lot of challenges around climate change and human rights and all these things that surround us today. They do expect brands to behave responsibly in this world. Mm-hmm. And that's quite a challenge for a lot of brands to figure out how to put all of their ducks in a row so that they are actually good citizens of the world. Right, but right. B, then how do they communicate that to their audiences? And I think the biggest question in all of this is that historically, advertising has played a huge role in shaping society, in shaping our ideas of what beauty looks like, of what, you know, yeah. who's a good citizen. There's lots of associations that advertising has helped build. I mean, famously in the 50s, the imagery around women's role in households in North America, I mean, that was hugely shaped by advertising, even though it was not solely mm-hmm. done through advertising. And so historically, advertising's role hasn't always been a positive one, but it's been a vehicle that's shaped society. And now realizing, you know, you have this power, how do you use it? And you do know that consumers actually care about how you use that power. How do you kind of transform yourself as a brand into a leader in this space? How can you occupy a responsible role? How can you portray people in a way that reflects them? You know, how can you be the brand that someone looks up to and says, oh yeah, you're for me because I see myself in the way you speak or in the way you speak to me. And I think that is the biggest challenge, is how to kind of exist in today's world that's developing, and where I think consumers more and more are catching on to the roles that brands play in the world and are holding them to a higher standard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And to your point on representation, so Kantar and Affectiva recently did a joint project together, The Power of Inclusive Portrayal in Advertising. I believe we did a webinar and we have this downloadable guide. I think we wrote a few blogs about it. Can you provide a brief description on what that was and what we were looking to do there?
Yeah, so we've really joined our efforts on this to ask ourselves, how can brands get I&D right in advertising? You know, how can they really speak to a diverse audience in a way that resonates with people? Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of all this, I looked at some research that Kantar conducted that showed that 88% of people think that brands don't do a good job of representing themselves or people similar to them in advertising. And at first I thought, like, well, that's really, really high. Like, is that number really right? And I went back and checked, and it was, the number was correct, much to my shock. But at the same time, I then sat back and I thought, like, well, how well do I feel? You know, how well represented am I in advertising? I've asked some people around, and actually it was quite accurate. A lot of people said, what I see isn't necessarily me. People don't look like me always, or they don't speak the way I speak, or they don't talk about things that I find important or my community finds important. And for a little bit, I was closely watching the advertising that was aimed at me that day. You know, what messages am I getting on my phone? What do I see on the tube? And just the portrayal of women seemed quite narrow. A lot of them were blonde, kind of underweight, mm-hmm. and really representing a very narrow segment of women that I come in touch with every day. And very recently, I saw a campaign from the skincare brand Number 7 that touched up on this. And it was actually quite a fitting portrayal of the state of advertising today, which they show women looking in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And the women are very different, and they see themselves in the mirror just the way they are, with whichever age or body size or skin tone they have. And then they look outside, either at a magazine or a billboard, and suddenly they don't see themselves. They see somebody else. And I thought that was such a fitting statement to what advertising today does. And while we know that it has gotten better, it yeah. still has quite a way to go, especially if people are telling us, like, look, you're not representing me. I don't feel represented in how you speak and what you show. And so in that joint webinar and the playbook, we've really looked at, so what do brands need to do in their advertising to make people feel like they are represented and that they are heard?
Right.
And the biggest finding for me was that it's not just about who you put in the ads, because that made no effect on the emotional results we saw in Affectiva's data on the aggregate or in our link data.
Yeah.
It was how you showed the people. So if people thought that the portrayal of the characters in the ad was positive and giving a good example to others, then the effectiveness data went up significantly.
Yeah.
So it's really about figuring out how to tell an emotional resonance story that will communicate something meaningful to people. And that is the key. It's not just about ticking boxes about who's in your ad. Mm-hmm. I'm really thinking hard about the stories you're putting out there as a brand. And more broadly, because we've looked at our database, a couple thousand ads, where we've also kind of earmarked what type of portrayals they had and tied it to Affectiva's data and our unstereotype data, and did a deep dive on those recent portrayal ads. And we found together with Graham three ways in which brands can get it right. One is that they can cast inclusively, so they can put someone in a role where they wouldn't previously been put or included. A great example of this is the Virgin Media campaign, which kind of focuses on a meet cute story between two teenagers who meet playing online games. And one of them happens to be in a wheelchair. And he's shown just as he is. The story is not tied to him being in a wheelchair. And the portrayal of him is so good. It resonates with people. And we did see a great effect on the ad's performance that way. Another way that brands can really get this right is inclusive storytelling. So the story itself will revolve around a person's identity, and they will somehow communicate a brand message through that. And kind of the last third way that brands could get at this is inclusion as purpose. And that's something that many of us probably think of first when we think about inclusive advertising, because those would be those more brand activist campaigns. So think Dove, for example, you know, Dove Sketches or Reverse Selfie most recently. And those ads that really aim to tackle stereotyping or very concretely make a difference in the world, that's something we'd call inclusion as purpose. And that's just another way to get it right. I think what's really important for brands is to think about your own history on IND and advertising and how you can capture the right tone with which to speak to your people and really get your brand message out there in the right way that will ultimately strike a chord.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think one of the concerns, I guess, that we often hear is, you know, if I include a minority, will I lose my major audience? You know, whether it's gender, you know, race, LGBTQ, disability, you know, is that's not something that you've, it sounds like that you're really seeing in the data.
It's a concern we hear, but it's not something that we see in the data. And when a story is really strong, it doesn't matter, you know, how whether that person is from an underrepresented group or not. And we actually see that really strong stories, they resonate with everyone, even if they themselves aren't a part of that particular group. And even if they themselves, for example, don't care so much about diversity in advertising. I mean, in that work we've done with Affectiva, we've actually asked people, you know, how important do you think it is for brands to do this in their advertising, and then filtered the data on those that thought it was important and those that thought it was less important. And we saw that even the people who thought, well, maybe I don't care so much whether brands do this or not, they're just as emotionally involved and it evoked just as strong positive emotions as amongst the people that thought brands should totally do this, they need to do a better job, etc. So really, if you get your stories right, if you evoke empathy in people, then you really have to get through to their hearts, really. But then it's success. You get really great stories out there, and your brand can only stand to benefit from that.
Absolutely. Okay. So also together this past year, I know Affectiva and Kantar have explored, you know, trends in advertising, COVID's impact on the industry, and, you know, now with the diversity in advertising. So our question is for you, what's next? What do we have coming up?
So we obviously collaborate quite closely, and some of the questions we are getting from clients are revolve around sustainability and how to communicate that in their advertising, right? How to deliver sustainable messages authentically. Yeah. And so we are currently doing some work to understand that better, to think about how different people respond to sustainability messaging and all the different ways in which sustainability messaging gets communicated. So we are planning to do some joint work on this topic early 2022. So stay tuned and we'll keep you posted.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited about this because I think in a prior discussion, you and I were talking about, you know, greenwashing, which I had never heard that before, mm-hmm. but making sure that you're, you know, living up to what your brand has to say about sustainability. And I just thought that was fascinating. So yes, definitely excited for that come January or early next year.
Early next year.
Okay. So also based on your work, you know, you've talked about a lot of different things. If you had, you know, one takeaway for the audience listening today, what would you like to tell them?
I'd like to tell them to really understand what their viewers are passionate about, understand what kind of what pain points they have in their life and how their brands can either resolve that or speak to that and be relatable in that space, and specifically about IND, to not be afraid and go there and tell some fabulous stories, both about the people, but from them and to them, and be quite courageous and ambitious in the stories they tell. We do see that those stories earn a lot of praise from viewers when done well. And that's certainly something that I'd say every client should think about. You know, how can you not be the brand that 88% of people think doesn't do a good job of representing them? So really holding ourselves to a higher standard in how we create this work and what comes out and how we then portray our brands to the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The 88% stat.
So. Yeah. It's so shocking, isn't it? It's so shocking.
Can't believe it. So also for our listeners, can you let us know where they can go to learn more, or do you have any other kind of call to action for them?
Yes. Yeah, so we have pulled our resources on IND and diversity on a joint website, and we'll share the link below. So you can see not only the playbook guide that we've been talking about and the link to the webinar recording if you've missed it, but we also have some thought leadership pieces that we've co-authored that will be on that site as well. So all of our thought leadership around how to get IND and advertising right is in a single place. And you can access it and read it at your own time. And of course, if you have any questions, reach out to us. We'd be happy to talk to you about your questions and concerns.
Awesome. Yes, we love our partnership with Kantar. Super excited to see what's to come in the future. And that was all I have for you today. So Vera, once again, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Ashley.
I really liked Vera's honesty around how she fell within that 80% stat of not feeling that ads were representative of people that looked like her. I also am really excited about the next Kantar study early next year about how to advertise the right way around sustainability and how brands can avoid greenwashing, a term I didn't even realize was a thing. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the Human-Centric AI podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts for new episodes. We are also on social media, so please reach out to us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram at Affectiva or at SmartEye to share any feedback you have on the show and weigh in on the discussion using hashtag at HumanAIPodcast. Don't forget to rate us and comment with your feedback to help make the podcast more discoverable for others. Until next time, thanks for listening.